Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Right, we're going. We've had an absolute palaver behind the scenes getting to this point, so let's hope this is all working. Thank you very much for listening. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates who love the game of rugby.
Now, shall we just skip the music, purely for the fact that we are so late recording, and it's been so difficult.
I think we'd just play a little bit of it. I think we'd be robbing people of a much-loved part of the pod, JB.
Fine. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod!
There you go.
Right, we're here, and we've just completed, or we're right in the midst of, week three of the domestic season in the Pro 12 in the Aviva Premiership. We have victors in the Rugby Championship. We've got so much to talk about from the world of rugby. As JB says, we're on under the cosh a little bit because we've taken so long technologically trying to get this all set up. We best just crack on. I just want to say you can find us on iTunes and on Acast, and subscribe and leave your reviews as well. Quinn's in Hope left one of my favourite reviews of the week, saying, 5-star podcast, really enjoyed it. However, not enough Kabaddi Championship coverage, which seems to have been reduced to a Pro 12 level of insignificance.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it?
Do you know, do you remember which professional rugby player actually watches Kabaddi, JB?
Do I remember which one watches Kabaddi?
I used to love Kabaddi back in the day on Channel 4.
No idea, who was it?
Neil Briggs was telling
me
when he had his baby, he was up in the middle of the night and all that was on was Kabaddi and he actually really got into it.
Yeah, it's a weird sport and the athletes don't look like they're classic contact athletes.
No, but it's a...
You have to hold your breath. So that's a big...
Yeah.
Set. It's having a huge lung capacity.
I'm not sure they have to do that in the pro version, though.
They do, because that's why you say Kabaddi. It's to prove that you are not breathing. Kabaddi, Kabaddi,
you're
Kabaddi,
only
Kabaddi, 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 so you
it
can't breathe
like
in.
It sounds like a very difficult thing to enforce.
It does.
Possibly does. I do like this review as well from Dr. Steve C., who says, it's fair to say I'm probably not in the target audience for this podcast.
I love this review.
being a middle-aged, vaguely left-leading, vinyl-loving, yes, JB, I have hundreds of them and quite often sit around listening to them, public servant. However, I'm also a big rugby fan, having played the game for many years and coaching juniors and watching Premiership and international level.
Good man.
Over the last 18 months, what I would say is you're not JB's target audience. Me and Phil are perfectly happy to...
No, we're a very broad church here.
Across the last 18 months I've been listening, blah, 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 blah. So, yes, he says it is more relaxed and spontaneous than Brian Moore. It's... definitely less up its own backside than Matt. Listen to me, you rugby watching thickies Dawson on the BBC. This is the thoughts of Dr. Steve C. clever, funny, controversial, thought provoking, and analytical. I quite like the way he breaks down us as a team.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't come out great from that, but that's fine.
Phil has terrific statistical knowledge and cool head and great insight.
He's got a laptop.
JB's a bit of an idiot.
JB's JB.
sometimes with his anti everybody, Newcomb all white right wingery. But I've come to realise he probably knows he's being an idiot, and this is largely an entertaining front. And a quick listen to his other podcast demonstrates an altogether more perceptive, self-deprecating fella. Tim, captain of the team, makes sure there's a good deal of humour, humanity and common sense, keeps the whole thing moving along. So keep it up, guys, and let the boys play, even if they are a fat old university lecturer with unshakable vinyl habits.
Ooh, goodness me. LTBP.
LTBP, leave your reviews. Thank you very much for listening. And before we start, we're streaming this on Facebook Live. You may be listening to this on the podcast on iTunes or Acast. You may be watching it on Facebook. Hello, if you are. That's
Hello.
All good. I've got an addition to the Rugby Dungeon.
Oh, wow. Let's have a look.
Look, this has been sent, and I'll hold it up so the camera can see it, but you can hear it as well. It's been sent via international mail
Ooh.
From New York City.
Wow.
I'm pulling out.
I saw a
jersey.
Hint of green. Then
I know what this is.
You saw a hint of green and navy blue.
Is this the best rugby badge in the world?
We've been sent Bayonne Bombers. We've been sent a jersey by the Bayonne Bombers, who were so hospitable and took us for an absolutely massive bender on the day of the New York Premiership match last year.
Love it.
They've sent us one of their jerseys with number 0 egg chasers on the back.
Very nice.
It's beautiful. And as you quite rightly pointed out, Phil, describe that badge, because it has got the best crest of any rugby team ever.
Well, it's a buxom lady, buxom bikini-clad lady.
Wearing the flag of freedom.
Riding on a nuclear missile.
Yeah, it encapsulates everything I like, actually.
So there we go.
We'll get that on the wall.
There's one for the dungeon going on.
Definitely,
the wall.
Thank
you very much. Right, have you seen much rugby over the weekend?
Well, I've actually seen my first game of the season live. And I tell you what, I went to watch the Gloucester Sale game. Did anyone else watch Gloucester Sale?
Yep.
I saw it on TV, not live, unfortunately.
Well, that's... When you watch a game live, you pick up so many more things than you do on TV.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could go into this in great detail, but I'll keep it brief. Things I think. One, Dan Mugford is a running fly half, which is great unless you're Dan Mugford and you're 5'10" and you're basically a little bit small, a little bit fat, and he looks scared to me. He was injured in the first couple of seconds, and after that, he just wasn't the same player. He can't kick particularly well.
I think part of that was down to his injury, because his ankle was heavily taped, wasn't it, after that initial injury.
Yeah.
And then he went off later for another injury.
I tell you now, he doesn't look confident, and he gets thrown about and beaten up quite badly.
I would concur with Phil. He had a strong week the week before, and he got injured in minute one, and he was hobbling around. And yeah. I don't think you can judge him quite yet. Although what I would say is, one thing that we can definitely say was wrong was JB's prediction that Sale are going to surprise people this year.
No, absolutely not.
You still think that's going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I saw in Sale is they do play really nice rugby. Anyone thinks that Sale kick to the corners and drive over and not watching Sale? Gloucester won that game because they had better players, and when Sale in the second half had to move all their players around and it became a bit disjointed, they didn't look good. But when they have their starting 15 out, and bearing in mind it's a third choice 10 or a second choice 10, really good. I mean, Sam James can really play. He is a very good player. Will Addison looks like he's trying to win a VC, not a rugby game.
How often will they have their 15?
I don't mean their absolute best 15. I mean just, you know, a team, you know, like a 15 which they started with. Do you see what I mean?
Because a very important point, the one that you've made previously on the podcast, is the attritional nature of the Aviva means that you need a big squad, which is something that Gloucester have. Whereas Sale are now in a position where their only two professional fly halves are out of action for the next game. Because Mugford went off with a head injury.
Yes, he did. But they could have kept Sam James on there. There are other things that they could do. And it was unlucky.
On the head injury, quite interesting. Bearing in mind the ongoing court case against either Sale Sharks and or individuals within the organisation, possibly Steve Diamond. It's quite interesting, Steve Diamond's reaction to Dan Mugford having to go off from a head injury. So it was the doctor that made the call to keep him off the field.
Well, I think it was the referee initially to flag the head injury, and then the medical team went through the head injury assessment protocol, and you got this 13-minute window, and they deemed that he was concussed. So they wouldn't allow him back on, and Dimes was bemoaning that fact and saying the game's gone soft.
He was furious. Allegedly, he might have said to the physios, "Are you on Gloucester's team?" Allegedly. I was sat just in front of him, and I'm not sure if he should be locked in a cage or running the country. I don't think it says somewhere in between. It's one or the other. Yeah. I mean, actually,
there's no middle ground.
Well, it could be both. To be fair, we could lock him in a cage to
run the country. Yeah, like the TMO booth.
Exactly.
You lock him in a cage, and he just has his hands on the buttons.
Fair play, Gloucester. Though they're on the board.
Yeah, I was happy for Gloucester.
Good performance by Gloucester.
Laidlaw is so important to him. I mean, the fact they've got a guy there that can kick from anywhere. He's just absolutely vital. And you can contrast that to Sale, who at the end of it didn't have a kicker. They had Addison doing restarts. He's obviously a skillful guy, but I think on one of the restarts, he didn't even get it 10 metres or it went straight out.
He definitely hit one straight out. Well, yeah.
Here's one thing. When you look at Sale Sharks, they are one of the few teams, and I think you've mentioned this in our little WhatsApp group in the week, JB, but Sale Sharks are one of the few teams now who seem to have traditional centres.
Almost traditional centres, because you could argue Sam James is a fly-half.
Well, he's played all of his professional rugby in the centre, hasn't he?
But that kind of crash man and an outside break man.
The direct and the skillful one.
The direct and the skillful one. The Mike Tyndall, Will Greenwood.
Yeah.
That kind of combination, which has been such a tradition, particularly in English rugby more than anywhere. But you made the observation, JB, when we looked at the teams for the Aviva Premiership, and I think this is more broadly speaking across the entire rugby world, that's very much changing, isn't it?
Six of the starting centres this weekend, actually play their rugby in other positions. So you've got a situation...
I thought it'd be more than that, in all honesty.
No, it's only six.
Henry Slade was 12 for Exeter.
Yeah.
Goppeth. Bowden.
Dan Bowden. And Banners.
Williams.
Owen Williams and Peter Beetham. Yeah. He's a winger.
Exactly. So Wasps, Bath and Leicester had players who aren't really... They are centres, but they primarily play their rugby elsewhere, moving in or moving out.
Atkinson as well.
Yeah.
He's a fly half. I played with him when he was 18 Sausage
legs,
or so.
Best Twitter handle on any professional rugby player.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I guess if you're going to spend all your money, you're going to spend it on skillful players. So look at Wasps. I mean, they probably do want to play a second fly half because they want to get as much money on the field as they possibly can.
Possibly, but I mean, you look back at, I guess, two of the best centre pairings that I can think of over the last few years, the Darcy O'Driscoll combination and the Nonu Smith combination.
Yep.
And they had the kind of very defined roles and covered all of those boxes that we're talking about, both the guile, the skillfulness, but also the directness between the two of them.
Sorry, Phil. My thought on what's changed is, as we keep talking about, this really fast, hard, defensive push means that the successful attacks are when you manage to get outside, and that's where the distribution skills, second pair of eyes in, taking the time and pressure off.
Yeah,
that's become more and more and more important. And now the physical development of players means even guys like Henry Slade can put a shoulder in and stop anyone dead.
Yeah. I think it might be a case that finding really effective inside centres is difficult now, because defences are so good. Having a Bosher just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So getting that extra pair of hands is probably a more effective tactic for these teams, rather than having an extra guy with a bit more physicality. And you even see it with national teams. You've got did Foley play 12 again?
Yeah.
You've got Farrell too.
Mm. And Crotty's not exactly a big bloke.
No,
he's not like a non. He's not 110 kg.
Wesley Fofana.
I'll tell you who knew if Crotty got injured. And Lynnett Brown and all the line of centres that they've got, they could easily play Dane Coles at 12.
Oh, is there a position he couldn't? Right, give him a couple of months, he could pick up any position on the rugby field, I reckon.
He got three assists
in
that
unreal,
game.
He's unreal, that guy.
And it was three assists. One was the very fast hands, one was taking the tackle and offloading out the back, and one was the 20 metre.
I know, ridiculous. If you had a game for the survival of Earth tomorrow, would you go with Dane Coles, who has all of that skill set, or would you go for Augustin Creevy, who's like the best scrummager, thrower type player? If you had to pick one of those,
I am not putting the future of the globe on the Pumas captain.
The Jaguares captain.
No, thank you. Where is he? He's hungover. What? No.
Those two are the best two hookers in the world at the moment. They are brilliant.
Well, you talk about Dane Coles being able to play every position. I've come up with a theory, and sorry to go back to the Sale game, but it's...
The only one you've seen, everything's going to revolve around.
By about... what time was it? By about 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, I'd seen five games of rugby already. So, Pro 12 and Sale on lockdown, as with the Championship, right? Here's the theory. Do you know, when you see goalkeepers try to kick a football, it looks like this is a completely mystery object. They look like 12-year-old girls who have only ever played netball. They kind of run up to it awkwardly and they toe-poke it. Well, scrum halves, I've decided, are actually the same now. We watched Mike Phillips move to 10. Scrum halves are incredibly uncomfortable catching and passing. From an upright position.
Some are. It's quite interesting, because you've got a few scrum halves who can.
Like Laidlaw.
Laidlaw, Machinaud, Michelac, like a lot of the French boys.
Yes, really, but Youngs, it looks... But, what's this thing?
The Petit Generals from France, that's just what they do, innit?
Yeah.
Whereas Mike Phillips, it was kind of...
Not so much.
Just throwing it as hard as he could. Just the fact that he's standing up completely baffles him. It'd be best to put it on the floor, pick it up again, and then try and distribute.
Well, he got caught with the ball a few times, didn't he? Because he just... It was completely alien to him.
Yeah, and then he tried a crossfield kick. I'm convinced with Mike Phillips.
He spends very, very little time upright on his feet, just in his downtime as well, doesn't he? As we know.
Yeah, well, I'm confused with Mike Phillips. I think he went to like his career advice person, and they read out like the, you know, what do you want to do? And he goes, well, I'm 6'4", and they went, right, they got NFL quarterback mixed up with scrum half because he's such a big man.
Yeah.
And he stands next to Dan Mugford as well. He's even bigger.
Well, when he stands next to the guy that came on for him, Peter Stringer.
Yeah.
It's like when Stringer's standing next to Paul O'Connell. that kind of difference.
I'll tell you what, a big man who, again, let's just briefly talk about with Sale Sharks because it's quite interesting. Brian Majati was reduced to selling beer outside the ground rather than partaking in a professional rugby match. He'll be on massive wedge, tight head prop, big name, nowhere to be seen in the squad.
Yeah.
They've got kids ahead of him.
And I think it's
injured or...
No, he's just third choice. So they brought in Arlika and Kieran Longbottom from Saracens, former Western Force prop.
And James Flint is above him in the pecking order now.
I say James Flint, he's more of a loose head, isn't he?
Oh yeah, no, he is, you're right, yeah.
But I think that just reflects his position in the squad. So he will be on big money, and he was on the bench a lot last year behind Kobolas. And I think it partly reflects his perhaps more relaxed attitude to rugby life.
Possibly. Can I just make one other further observation on Sale Sharks and Dan Mugford?
Please.
He's got kind of a baby bum fluff type beard that I think he could really do with getting rid of.
Look,
and if you wanted to look sharp, Dan Mugford or anyone else, if you wanted to look sharp, razor sharp,
yeah,
and have a perfect, and you know, show off that angled jawline.
Go on.
You've been working on. Then there's only one place to go.
Who?
And that's to the number one razor on the market. Although you can't just stroll into your normal high street shop to get this. The substandard razors, Gillette, Wilkinson, Sordico, they're all in the supermarket. The number one, as voted for by the GQ magazine, beating those competitors, is Cornerstone. And you can get that for as little as £4, including your own personalised engraved aluminium Cornerstone shaft with your first order, because you get a £10 discount from us.
Nice. I've done it. Phil's done it. Loads of you have done it.
Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Go there. Get involved. Like I say, it's £4 and there's no obligation. We think you're going to love it. We love it. We think you will as well. Yep. Because you're with us, as little as £4 and you get your free shaft anyway, even if you cancel it after that.
And let's face
no
it,
bother.
It allows us to party like Jonathan Joseph.
I was pouring champagne on the floor last night. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or...
Egg 10 at checkout.
There we go. I've got a game of rugby social.
Please do.
How about that?
Yeah.
Because I know you've got
that.
A quiz, haven't you, Phil?
I have got a quiz. We can do the quiz later as well.
All right, okay. So, rugby social. So, I've been taking a look at the Twitter accounts of rugby union players, and I've got some questions. So
yes.
Phil versus JB, and play along.
So, play along.
Tom Wood, Northampton captain. Northampton registered a win. They did the opposite of what I said.
Yeah.
Having registered their first win against Bristol, they're back to a defeat. But Tom Wood, the Northampton captain, gets pumped up before games by...
Ooh, what does Tom
The Wood Guardians do? Of the Galaxy soundtrack. The Rocky IV soundtrack. Or the Frozen soundtrack.
Frozen.
Oh, wow. Not even a moment's hesitation.
I was also going to go for Frozen, but I'll make it interesting and I will go for... Guardians of the Galaxy is an unusual one, but you have got...
You keep an eye on that.
So I'll go for Rocky. Rocky IV soundtrack.
1-0 JB.
Winning again.
1-0 JB. It was Frozen.
I wonder who's going to win this next one.
Let It Go. Massive gay anthem, that.
Is it?
It is it? Yeah. No, huge. Absolutely huge. It's like a massive coming out gay anthem song.
I don't believe you.
It is.
No way.
It truly
is. I've seen Frozen. I can't identify with those ideas.
It is. Well, think about the words, JB. right. Louis Picamole, King Louis.
King Louis, yes.
King Louis brought what to training?
Oh, I think I might know.
Says his teammate Christian Day. I'll let Phil go first on this one.
Okay.
Was it a truffle-filled brie the size of a lorry wheel, 3 crates of red from the Bordeaux region, or some exotic French magazines for the boys?
So he's from Toulouse. I know they like their sausages down there. I'm going to go for the brie, the cheese and truffles.
What do you go for, JB?
Oh, I would have gone for the cheese and truffles, because it sounds likely. I'll go for the red wine.
red wine. Yeah, I could have thrown you off scent more if I'd thought about some sausages, because I forgot about the Toulouse.
Toulouse sausages.
Our local butchers here does brilliant Toulouse sausages.
Yes, they taste
so good on the barbecue. It was the truffle-filled brie, and it was enormous, Christian.
Unbelievable.
Day.
It's almost like I could have been winning this, but I'm not.
I know. Finally.
One all. Final question. So JB goes first on this one.
JB goes first. Which Manchester United footballer did Muge, Brian Majati, who, as we mentioned, was not named in the squad for Sale Sharks, so took the opportunity to sell his beer to punters outside the HA Bell Stadium.
Entrepreneurship.
If you look at his Life of Brian video, he dismantled his own bar that he has at his house, rebuilt it at the AJ Bell. And
there's got to be some questions, haven't there, about how seriously do you take your day job when you've got time to build a bar, reassemble it, and then sell beers at the place where you should be working?
It's like me saying
to like peers and solicitors, guys, I'm not going to come in today. Then bringing my own bar into the office and trying to sell beer.
It's almost like me doing a radio show, but pre-recording bits of it so I could record my podcast.
You wouldn't do that, though.
I wouldn't do that.
I'd be irresponsible.
Don't listen to last week's podcast, my bosses. Anyway, Brian Majati, which Manchester United footballer did he name a beer in their honour? Was it an Ibrahimovic, a flavourful Scandinavian IPA, a Schweinsteiger, a cultured German lager, or a Rooney, one that won't win any trophies but will drain you of all your money?
Very good. I am going to go with an Ibrahimovic to win the game.
Now, I know that Mujati is actually a Chelsea football fan rather than a United fan. So I'm going to go for a tongue-in-cheek Rooney.
I don't know, mate. Don't know. Messed up. Just carry on.
That's fine. Sorry, Facebook Live has stopped streaming. We'll carry on. So you're going to go for a what?
I'm going to go for a Rooney.
You're going to go for a Rooney. It was a Schweinsteiger.
Oh, what?
Yes, because it's Oktoberfest coming up. So he's getting a German beer ready for Oktoberfest.
Of course, yeah. It's the first weekend this week.
Which leaves it as 1-1. So that's Rugby Social. 1-1, gents. Well done.
until next time.
Disappointing.
Twitter was the winner. Interestingly, talking to social media, we mentioned it on last week's podcast. You said Jonathan Joseph took down that Instagram video.
He has.
The one where we thought it was a bit vulgar, pouring champagne on the floor.
I didn't see it, but I'm going to stand up for it and say, yeah.
Let the boys play.
I'm not.
Don't get me wrong, I'm all for letting the boys play.
I'm not that was pouring a bit... champagne on the floor, though. I've got to say
that
much.
It was footballer-esque, which is... not really a compliment in my mind.
No. And interesting, was it rotation or was it giving him some time to think? We will never know what Todd Blackadder was thinking, but Jonathan Joseph was not in the matchday squad for Bath.
No.
Who racked up another 5-point victory.
Only just coming from behind, 17-6 at half time. A very poor first half performance by all accounts, and equally a good first half performance by Worcester, whose outside backs were cutting Bath to ribbon.
You've got to think, if you're going to beat Bath, it's going to be much easier to do it early on, because the longer you leave them to establish their systems and get together and have Todd Blackadder put his footprint on this team, the harder it's going to be. So they've done very well just to get the win, because next week they're going to be even more formidable.
And they're doing this without Robbie Fruin, who is thought to be coming. Maybe Mermoz is the other one, we don't know, probably
not. I don't think it will be Mermoz now.
No, I don't think it will be Mermoz. But Todd Blackadder has talked about getting two centres in. One's thought to be Robbie Fruin, who is one of the best centres not to have played for New Zealand.
Yeah,
He's had a few injuries, heart issues as
But they're also without Francois Lowe.
Yeah.
They're also without Talupe Faletau the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And Dave Denton, who would be the obvious replacement, although they brought in Leroy Houston.
Leroy!
Who, by all accounts, played very well.
He looked very good from what I saw.
Might be my fantasy team, so I'm delighted with...
Scored an easy try at the end, but he was making meters all over the place, so good.
Tremendous news for me.
So Bath are back. 3 games, 15 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's looking promising. Who have they got next?
Good question. Just
while you're working that out, how many games do you think it is before you think we can look at the table and go... All right, that's sort of settled a bit. Round six, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Did you look at Exeter's fixtures? They've had Wasps away, Saracens at home amongst their three fixtures, which...
Yeah. Well, you look at the table now, and we're partway through the game week with not everyone still to play. The bottom three are Bristol, Worcester, Newcastle.
Okay.
Which is kind of where we thought they'd be.
Which is probably... it's still... the top lot, you've got Bath, Saracens, Wasps, Gloucester. So you could probably shake that around a little bit with Northampton and Exeter, a fifth and sixth, and Leicester. Leicester, Sale, Quins. I mean, any of that top eight or nine could end up anywhere in that top eight or nine, it feels like.
Yep, agreed.
So it's too early to jump to any big conclusions.
It's like fourth from bottom spot, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
You're going to have a big name. A lot of people out there
looking
say Sale.
Like Quins, isn't it?
I think it looks like Quins. I mean, yeah. I honestly think Quins have got some serious problems. I don't think that Conor O'Shea went out in a particular blaze of glory. In fact, I'm not even that sure that the players were sad to see him go. Conor is obviously very well liked in media circles and the rest of it, but you got to remember his last game, they got battered by Exeter.
At home, wasn't it? Yeah, by 50 points.
Your coach's last game, if he's a beloved character, you'd expect them to put forward a bit.
I just want to see Danny Kerr picking up a trophy.
Yeah, and then you've got the fact that now he's gone, and maybe they didn't do too well last year, and maybe there's a little bit of disquiet in the camp. They've just promoted from within, which isn't always a bad thing, but in this case, I don't think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a bolder appointment. I think it's very much in keeping with Harlequins when you look at their youth policy and development. They're massive on that. And almost I thought Conor O'Shea went on about that too much. He used to talk about, look how many England players we've got, look how many guys that are in our academy that are coming through. It's actually like...
look how many games you've won.
Yeah, look how many games you've won. Exactly that. And sometimes you need to identify, not just like bang the drum of the things that are great, but actually identify the things that aren't so great. And John Kingston, great guy, loves the club, proper Harlequins man through and through. But I would have liked a bolder appointment, someone like Wayne Smith.
Ooh, for example, that is very bold.
I think would have shaken it up.
Would have shaken it up.
I think that they need a big shake-up, because a couple more losses and I think the Quins are in serious crisis territory. They started off this year with a big salary spend, big hopes, and they'll have lost, what, 4 out of 5?
I don't get it. The players they have are outstanding. The quality of the players.
They
are.
Okay. I think they are as well, but with a couple of weaknesses.
Yep.
They've got some A-star players and a load of C-minus players, in my opinion.
I think they've got a couple of weaknesses in the back row. I think Wallace has never matured to be the player he needs to be.
Yep.
Clifford will be good, but he's not there yet.
Yeah.
And Robshaw is a very good player. I think their biggest weakness is their hooker.
Yeah.
And if you saw the game at the weekend, Luke Cowan-Dickie, one of his tries...
Sorry, who?
Mullet-Dickie.
Thank you.
Yes.
MHD. One of his first try.
It sounds like some sort of new drug that the youths are on a rave.
Bloody kids.
We should get on some MHD tonight.
Yeah, do it.
His first try was Harlequins on their own 5 metre line, their own ball. They put a man up, not competed against, and it was just a simple overthrow straight into MHD's hands, and he flopped over the line. And it wasn't just that one line-out that was missed all game.
Yeah, they've gone... And it shows, doesn't it? There's a saying in the NFL, if you've got two quarterbacks, you've got none. And the fact that they've got three hookers doesn't really strike... It doesn't really fill me with much confidence.
Yeah, we started Rob Buchanan this week. They've tried Joe Gray there, and they've got Dave Ward, and all of them, we've said it a few times.
And do you not think...
None of them are the complete package.
And do you know what? Going back a few years, in terms of, like, Harlequins have always had this flair, and that's very much part of the identity of that club. However... they have not replaced Ollie Cohn and James Johnston from 4 years ago.
God, you're right.
In terms of the mass of
the balance that brings with the other elements.
If you look at rugby transfers of recent years, not many people have made a worse decision than James Johnston to leave Harlequins in terms of his career. And you thought he was going to do stuff at Saracens, didn't? Did he go to Wasps? And then got released
And then never played. Yeah. And
he's now starting to get some game time again.
Yeah.
He would be much better staying at Harlequins, where he was loved and had a good home.
Yeah, starting tired.
Mm. But Harlequins obviously looked at it and went, "Well, it's all right. We got these guys coming through. Will Collier, Carl Sinclair is a kid, but he's going to be great.
Not fully
he
developed.
Will be great, but much like I'm saying, the promoting from within. It's like, yes, John Kingston is a great club man and he's a good coach and stuff. But sometimes you just need to get the checkbook out and get someone who can do it right now.
What about the actual construction of the squad too? Do you not think that it's very strange that they have Jamie Roberts there, who's not a typical Quins player? He'd be better off at a Leicester or somewhere. Well, actually, not anymore. That's a bit of a cliche. But his direct running and his ballast is nice, but it's not really what Harlequins are about. Well,
and you've got the thing with Jamie Roberts. You almost feel like he limits the access the 10 has to the outside backs. Mm. He's like a barricade, so the ball won't often get outside him. He's not going to distribute himself. Yeah. And you've got these brilliant outside, like their back three in Visser, Yard, and Mike Brown when they're on class. Form. He's one of the best back threes in the league.
I like Lowe.
But we've hardly seen any of them this year. Hardly had the ball.
And the replacement, Chisholm, I didn't think was up to much. I don't think... they let Ollie Lindsay-Hay go. Who's the other one? Oh, yeah, and you quite like Marchant.
Well, as we said...
He's a kid.
As we said last week, their next two games, they host Saracens.
Good luck.
They travel to the Rico. And then they host Northampton.
Oh, my
In their
word.
Next three games. So they could be...
1-6
potentially.
That's bad, right? However, let's look at something where it seems to be that a squad has been built and a coaching setup has been built and is progressing rather nicely, and that is Phil's beloved Ulsterman, ticking along very nicely.
Second in the Pro 12, 3 from 3.
Yep.
Not really. I don't feel like we've really been tested that hard yet. We hosted Scarlets, who are yet to win a game. I'm pretty disappointed with Scarlets and all of
massively disappointed
with Cubby Boy and Fox Davis both back.
Yep.
Didn't really do anything.
No.
But Ulster has an interview with Les Kiss in the Irish Independent today.
Anyone else just get a little smile every single time?
Les Kiss. Yep.
I always think back to the Porn Star 15.
That is well worth digging out our old Porn
Star
15.
That was early days as
early,
well.
Early days on the pod.
So he was saying, and the piece was aimed at the frustration that Ulster had their kind of foot on the throats of the Scarlets, metaphorically, not literally, and weren't able to finish off. It was 19-6 or something like 19-8. And it was only a Henderson try in the last few minutes, a crash-over try, that made it as comfortable as it was. Despite being the better team and having the territory and the possession and Piatel beating defenders left, right and centre.
And also, why is
Gilroy running 100... He ran something like 140 metres in the game, which is ridiculous.
I don't know how the honour system works. Like, if you're Northern Irish, you obviously are allowed, you know, OBEs and stuff, right?
Yeah.
What's the Irish honour system? Does anyone know? Because Stuart McCluskey's got to be in the running. I love that guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's just an absolute hero.
He's a very, very direct... Did you see his nose in the game? He took a brutal, horrendous broken nose.
There's people that watch Irish rugby a lot closer than I do. Why is he not the starting 12 for Ireland nailed on?
Henshaw?
But I think he's better than Henshaw.
He's as good as... Oh, he's not far off, Henshaw, I'd say.
I mean, what do we... When you look at Henshaw, what do you think? You think of big
direct runner, yeah.
Yeah, which he's not when you met Jamie Roberts. Jamie Roberts sorted him out. But I think McCluskey's better, you know, probably the best direct running centre in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment.
He's got to be close. It was amazing that he didn't travel to South Africa.
I can't believe that. I can't believe it.
But so there's a few weaknesses in terms of the way that Ulster finish a game off, but... 3 from 3, you cannot complain.
I know it's early days to judge, but 3 weeks in, is there any sign you think that the Pro 12 is going to challenge more so on a European stage? We get to that in the middle of October.
No.
I think there's a few very good teams in there.
Yep, agreed, but I don't think that they'll be challenging in Europe.
I wouldn't be surprised if a few of them are.
Which ones?
I think Glasgow could beat anyone on the day.
Yep.
I think Leinster can beat anyone on the day. I think Ulster won't be far off. I think Cardiff have been presently surprised with.
Well, let's only talk about Heineken Cup. So the only Welsh team in the Heineken Cup is the Scarlets.
European
Champions Cup.
Thank you.
Sponsored by Heineken. Who, by the way, only pay a fraction for the sponsorship now compared to what they did as the Heineken Cup. FYI.
Because they're a tier one sponsor. They're not a headline sponsor now, aren't they?
So Scarlets in the European Cup are going to have a miserable time.
Horrendous time.
I truly believe that. Although, do you know what? If you're going to take something out of it, their scramble defence was quite good, and they limited an incredibly strong Ulster attacking backline to a handful of points.
Yeah.
So, you know, every class.
Yeah, some...
Damning with faint praise.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
No.
I think some of the Premiership sides aren't looking as impressive yet. It's so early days, but they're not looking quite as impressive yet.
Yeah,
but then again, they're playing against Premiership sides.
Connacht could easily have lost that game initially if it wasn't rained off.
The man of the match for Connacht was the Thunder.
Yeah, yes. So has that actually been ruled out? Does that not count?
That does not count. It has to go to 60 minutes.
Yeah. Which Zebre will be devastated.
That's a tough one. So, you've got Connacht losing against Zebre. So, if Connacht meets Zebre in the Heineken Cup, Zebre might turn them over. It gives you an indication of how competitive this might be. Mm. There's an Italian team in there. Well, forget that.
Well, Glasgow, Ulster, Leinster, I think, can beat most teams on their day. Most Premier teams outside Saracens, most French teams outside maybe Racing.
I kind of agree with you, right? Yeah, most teams outside of the teams that have qualified for Europe.
Outside the Saracens.
So who are the English reps in the...
Exeter,
Exeter, Leicester, Saracens, Northampton. Wasps, Northampton.
Yeah, I don't see it. I still think that...
You can see their
I can see them beating
home away.
Them.
Home away wins. The teams win their home games.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not going to screw that.
Just picking up on something you said about Ulster, you said they metaphorically had their foot on the throat and didn't put them off. Metaphorically, but that sounds like literally the kind of thing Chris Ashton might have done in a game.
What's happened to Chris Ashton this time?
Ashton this time, when he's been accused of, and Mark McCall was quite honest in his post-match chat saying he will probably be cited for and may miss some time for a bite. Alex Waller. Jim Mallinder said that Alex Waller has said he feels he was bitten.
It does look like
Jim Mallinder's not going to say Chris Ashton bit him. He's leaving that for the citing commissioners to say. But Jim Mallinder says that Alex Waller believes he was bitten.
Right.
And pictures appear to concur with that view.
I feel like John McDonald talking.
I will say Chris Ashton does wear a massive gum shield, which would have.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that clip of John McDonald talking directly into the camera about the appeal to the Labour Party? I feel like it's Chris, help us help you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't bite anyone. Just play good rugby and score tries. You'll be fine.
He's still not scored a try this season though.
He breaks my heart. He's such a good player.
Good tweet. I'm going to get the name of it so I can give credit to it. But it said Chris Ashton would be a fantastic rugby player if it wasn't for the fact he was Chris Ashton.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the case, he might be feral.
Now this is an interesting one because Alex Waller was wound up something like I've never seen before. Mm. He was all over the place. He getting into basically every Saracens player on the pitch. He got yellow carded for dumping Jamie George off the ball. He could have been red carded for a potential headbutt. I think the refs got it right. It was the correct call, but it wasn't good. He was in an altercation.
No, I'm just showing you a picture of it's a frozen frame picture, but it appears to be
a nibble.
It appears to be a little nibble.
Alex Waller is grabbing him around the head. This doesn't this does not justify biting someone, but Alex Waller was being very abrasive and was grabbing him around the head.
So,
but the two don't
biting isn't I think gouging is like the class one offence. Like that happens and you're banned for life. I think biting is like a class two or three. These are classes I've made up myself.
Yeah,
these aren't official classes. Right? So
I do like the fact people, by the way, are calling him Chris Nashton.
Oh,
now.
Good. So,
or the Nash splash, or the Ash Nash. Sorry,
if someone has got their forearm kind of The bridge of your nose, just beneath your nose, kind of there, which is incredibly painful. I mean, that's like, you know, that's the basis of some submission holds, right? I don't think it's that bad. If you do bite them with a gun machine, I'm not saying bite off his arm, but give him a little nibble. It's like hands, you know, like you've got hands on your face and they're trying to, you know, manipulate your head around so you can't get, you know, do whatever you need to do in the mall. I don't think it's terrible if you give his fingers a little nibble.
It was Ed Alexander with that tweet, by the way. New rugby convert on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, tweeted us saying, make Chris Ashton England captain immediately.
Or at least vice captain. You need these kind of abrasive characters.
Yes, you do.
Well, I'm sure a good sitting down with Eddie Jones would straighten Chris Ashton out.
Yeah.
It's worked wonders for Dylan Hartley.
So biting. That bad?
I don't think it's as bad as gouging. I think it should still be quite a long ban. It'll be interesting to see what they go
but
for.
If you find someone's fingers in your mouth, give me.
Oh yeah, yeah. If someone's putting their fingers in their mouth, that's fair game. This wasn't. No one was.
But like he has got his forearm around his head.
He's got his forearm round his head. Yes, and that's annoying. There's no honour in gouging. There's no honour in like hitting someone when they've got their back to you and they can't see it. There is honour from someone giving you a little stiff arm when you're on the floor, and then you get up, wait till you're square on with them, and swing a punch like Manu Tuilagi did on Chris Ashton. All these even though that was a shocking and quite rightly a red card. Well, no, he got a yellow for that, didn't he, Tuilagi?
I think that's about right.
I think he might have only got a yellow.
Simpler times.
I know, but it might have been that Ashton got a yellow and Tuilagi got a red. Anyway, there's a level of honour in that. But there's no honour.
Yeah,
I just think it's
there's
neutral.
No honour in
it's
a
like
bite.
Okay, it doesn't really matter. Move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Good.
I agree because I'm well aware that you've got to go very shortly.
You've got to hard out, as they say in the industry, Tim.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna have to because again, we were that.
You've got 6 minutes.
I know.
So what do you want to cover in your last 6 minutes? Because me and Jay can do the previews of next week on our own.
And also, there's something. Make sure, and I don't want to give it away because I don't want to spoil for the people that genuinely do listen on. Just keep listening.
Yeah, yeah. Listen right to the end this week.
Well, it was interesting. Eddie Jones wrote a piece about New Zealand, or gave an interview talking about New Zealand, who have won the Rugby Championship with 2 games to spare and have won 43 games in a row at home. You thought Maro Itoje's 30 straight victories now was impressive.
Crikey.
I know.
It is pretty impressive.
New Zealand have won 43 straight games at home. Warren Gatland must be sort of
it's a little bit
nervous.
Warren Gatland doesn't do nervous, mate.
But Eddie Jones, it was quite interesting. What he said was, he said it was kind of a slight dig and it was a bit of respect for New Zealand. He said, New Zealand just dominate. If there's ever they dominate world rugby. And he means that on the field and off the field. He said, if there's ever a law to be changed, you can bet your bottom dollar someone from New Zealand will be right in there, make a key part in making the decision. And they spread themselves across the globe, so they've got coaches everywhere. They use other countries to develop their next national coach. But his message was, because he's now at the head of England, his message was, English coaches, go and coach abroad. Learn how to play that unstructured, looser Super Rugby style.
Okay, so a couple of things here. Number one, I have been saying this about Pro 12 players, Welsh players, for a long time. Get out of the regions.
But you were talking about that from a financial point of view.
Experience point of view.
Get them out. Get them on the French payroll so that the youngsters can come through.
Yeah,
what Eddie Jones is saying is...
No, it's the same thing.
Coming to the train... Obviously, the way they develop coaches in New Zealand is brilliant because you get these really good coaches who then bring their skills to the Northern Hemisphere and learn how to play different styles, and then they come back and assimilate all of that together, and they're ready to coach.
So what are we saying here? Is Eddie Jones saying, look out for the New Zealand coach on a coaching staff somewhere who's never won a game against a top flight nation, never won a single game of top rugby, because that's what they've got with their current coach, Steve Hansen. Interestingly,
they've had the same two coaches for
the past 8 years.
Yeah, but if you were going to say who's going to take over from Steve Hansen, you could pick five incredible CV'd.
You could do.
Yeah, you could.
Ready,
but that's not
coaches.
What they've done in the past.
They'll probably just promote from within.
Yeah,
but it also means they've got an out. So if Steve Hansen paves the way for someone else to come through, and they fail to perform, then you have got five people ready made.
It's like Wasps.
England
can have three centres go down injured. They've still got a couple of great ones.
England, the appointment of Lancaster, he was forced into that route because they said they wanted an English coach and there were so few available.
Yeah, he did, whereas, and he was the interim coach.
Whereas, when we're looking,
there's actually loads available, but They just don't seem to trust them.
Not with the relevant experience.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, so this time around,
that doesn't wash, Phil.
When you were
Lancaster didn't have the relevant experience.
Well, that doesn't wash then. But this time around, this time around, when they were looking for Eddie Jones, when they were looking for the England replacement, we discussed all of the English coaches, and we agreed that none of them was sufficiently experienced.
I said Steve Diamond.
Do you really think he's sufficiently experienced?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I think you're in a very, very small minority there.
Look, okay, so New Zealand's coaches, I don't think, were sufficiently experienced. I mean, Graham Henry won some stuff with the Blues, did all right with Wales. Steve Hansen did terribly with Wales.
Yeah, but that is not what we're saying. That's a different argument. We're now saying, ignoring what's happened there, if the next person fails, you have got four or five guys.
Vern
Cotter,
got Joe Schmidt.
Top level European rugby, top level Southern Hemisphere rugby, and then international rugby experience.
Warren Gatland.
But I'm just saying they don't tend to use it.
Well, they haven't the last few times yet, and I don't think they will again. But it's not saying that you can't deny that they have it.
Yes, no.
But Eddie Jones's message to Northern Hemisphere Eddie Jones's message to Northern Hemisphere rugby is basically get yourself out of England. Yeah, learn your craft early days, but get yourself out and learn a different style of rugby. Broaden your horizons, because Eddie Jones has coached in all sorts of different parts of the world, and he's basically saying that's why he's where he is. That's why he's saying as a nation, that's why New Zealand are where they are. But I think there's something more fundamental than that. There's got to be a reason why so many, for a small nation, why so many New Zealand coaches are so in demand around the world.
Have you got a theory?
Well, no. Just like the players come through with brilliant basic skills that are above the level of most nations, there's probably some basic coaching development
if you look at Wales,
that we don't have.
They appoint a lot of New Zealanders, and I think they basically appoint a lot of New Zealanders. They've got such horrific politics within the regions. Appointing someone from an actual region somewhere, from within, a Welsh person, is just they're just so laden with baggage. It's easier just to wipe the slate clean and get a New Zealand guy in. Yeah, it's interesting. I'd actually agree with Eddie. I think he's absolutely right to say go out there and get experience.
Yeah, I think he is.
But I don't think that they should then be playing for the English national team.
Does anyone know what the record is for the number of straight wins by a nation? Because New Zealand
can't be anyone else but New Zealand, can it?
Yeah, unless it was England prior to the World Cup. I reckon New Zealand wasn't even close to this.
I think New Zealand might have a better straight win record now than if the USA had a national American football team. I mean, that's how good they are.
They are ridiculous.
That's a very good one. I bet the USA basketball team doesn't have as good a winning streak as the New Zealand rugby team.
You should actually look that up.
They're possibly the best team on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of any sport.
Yeah, they're so dominant. And I saw a tweet the other day from Russ Petty, and he said, this year, in the first half, New Zealand have outscored their opposition 129-75. So, kind of 5-3, roughly. In the second half, they've outscored their opposition 161-26. So, 8-1 in the second half. And that has been replicated in the last few games, particularly that South Africa game where it was 15-10 at half time. South Africa were right in it. Their forwards were causing New Zealand some real trouble. And then second half, they were just completely blown away.
And it's frightening how much they've just slotted into that. Oh, no Richie, no Conrad, no Nonu.
Yeah.
No this, that, the other. And no worries. And you're wearing your beloved Canes jersey, Phil. Geordie Barrett is like a carbon copy of Bowden Barrett, a few years behind him. Oh, and no. He's just signed a deal with the Canes.
Yeah, we don't need that. The rest of the world don't need that, do they?
Imagine when you've got a Barrett 10-12 axis. Oh, my God, that could be outrageous. Gentlemen, I've got a dash.
Yeah, tell you what, I do love this Bayonne Bombers top.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Fair play. Oh, well, actually, can I just learn something now, whilst that's reminded me?
Yeah.
If there is a game in New York, and I hear... Are you hearing the same stuff, Tim?
Yeah, I'm hearing that the first weekend in March...
First weekend in March, there's going to be a game in New York. It's going to be...
Possibly Newcastle Saracens. It could be a home game for Newcastle.
Oh.
Yes. We are seriously thinking about doing a live show in New York. Or live shows. So
from Radio City Music Hop, though. Maybe not there. Somewhere.
We're going to do a couple of live events. So if you're interested, get in touch with us on Twitter as soon as possible. Yeah. And as soon as that date is announced, I'll tell you the venues we have already discovered.
Well, basically, it'll be let's all meet up in New York. If you go to New York, if you're not a fan of Newcastle or Saracens, and it turns out being those two clubs, we'd highly recommend it anyway. Flights are pretty cheap at the minute. You can go £350 return. And
it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be outstanding. And we'll be there. And if you fancy just having some proper knees ups.
Yeah, I guess it's like, if you really want access to players, the New York trip is the one, because they are throwing players in front of your face, yeah, left, right, because they want people
just
to meet
them.
Just
pop up in Times Square, meet all the players, and then come on the piss with us.
Yeah. So that sounds good.
Yeah, sounds all right, doesn't it?
Where do I sign up to this?
news to come.
Right.
I'll leave this big box here, boys.
Yes.
You deal with that.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Let's do our predictions then and wrap this up.
Right. Before we start the predictions, just a quick mention for StatBacker.
Mm-hmm.
So the league this week is Defenders Beaten. And I can tell you the top three people are, as things stand, with a lot of scores still to go, are Jay Miller,
mm-hmm,
Henry Tanner, and Oliver Parrott.
Oh, excellent.
And the top five most picked players for Defenders Beaten were Samisa Rokodoguni, Billy Vunipola, Christian Wade, Sonotti.
Vianu?
And thanks to my recommendation last week, Guy Thompson, who was the third... was the third most
that can't carry
defenders
on
though, beaters. No, I'm sure it won't. But he's playing Bristol at home today.
Never mind. I'll bring this up.
And next week's player is missed tackles. So you want to pick the players.
About time we did that. I want to do more negative ones like drop balls.
Yeah, yeah. Turnovers conceded.
Yeah, turnovers conceded.
we might be in the following week. Turnovers.
Dom Muldock had three turnovers conceded last week.
Did he?
Yeah, that's not great for your first appearance in your new club.
It's not a great, a great way to go.
So, who are the games next week?
Okay, so we have got Premiership,
mm-hmm,
Friday night, under lights. Bristol host Exeter.
Exeter,
Southwest. Exeter as well. It'll be interesting to see how Bristol go against Wasps.
Yeah, badly, I imagine. If Leicester and Wasps win today, I win my accumulator bet of 9 games.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. Putting my money where my mouth is.
So you backed against Sale?
I didn't put one on against Sale. I couldn't call it.
So you didn't put your money where your mouth is?
No, I couldn't call it. So I did exactly that.
Okay. Then on Saturday, we've got Gloucester hosting Newcastle.
Gloucester
as well. Quinns hosting Saracens.
Next.
This might not be pretty watching for the Quinns. I hope for them that they do front up.
Yeah, I think a bonus point in some form will be a victory for them.
Yes.
Two bonus points.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be actually. Then we've got Worcester hosting Sale, which will be an interesting game, because Worcester have been playing okay.
Sale away from home aren't great. Yeah. I might have to pick Worcester on that. Mind you,
Worcester still without a win, but they've not been playing badly.
And McGinty's still a week off.
If Sale don't have a fly half as well.
I tell you what, Sam James is some player. I know I've always said that once today. He is some player. Watch it. His touch is so delicate.
Yeah.
So delicate.
Dane Coles-esque.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. Next.
Then we've got two brilliant games. So we've got 3 p.m. on Saturday, which I hope is the BT Sport game. Northampton hosting Wasps.
Nice.
How do you see that one going?
I see Northampton losing, which is weird, actually, because then they'll have lost three out of four, right?
Yeah, they'll be right up there.
Which isn't good. Yeah, I just think Wasps have a bit too much firepower. I did say at the start of the season I thought Wasps might be a bit frail. Having said that, they've fronted up to Leicester, who are by no means a small team.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe just the fact that they were so fired up against Saracens and didn't get it done is going to play against Northampton. So yeah, Wasps.
Yeah, I'm going to back Northampton. I agreed with you about this potentially frail Wasps pack. And I think this is a real chance for Northampton to get on top of them.
Not necessarily the frailty of the Wasps pack, but what about the Wasps back line being very small?
Yes, although Gopeth in there does shore it up a little bit, even though he's a 10.
Yeah. We've been joined by a hound. Out you go. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Good boy. What do I think? Because we're a smaller back line, the Northampton backline is ridiculously big.
Yeah,
Ballander,
that's true.
North, PCs.
Yeah.
Burrell.
Burrell. If Burrell went off with a bad head knock. Yeah.
So they could be vulnerable, but I don't see it. I think Wasps have got too much form, and winning teams tend to win.
Okay. And then on Sunday, another great game. And there's been a few brilliant games of this fixture in the past few years. Leicester host Bath.
Leicester host Bath. Oh, okay. So, I think Leicester will beat them.
I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah, I don't know by how much. I think it's going to be close, actually. Bath will be too fired up. Too fired up and not quite got it together yet.
Yeah, that first half they did look, against Worcester, they did look very fragile.
And by then, who knows? Tigers might have a new number 8, and they need a bit more ballast. So that should be good fun. Pro 12.
We've got. Let's have a look. So we've got one very poor game on Friday night.
Go on.
And two very good games on Friday night. So the poor game, Treviso host Dragons.
Well, actually,
Might actually be an okay
game. Yeah, as
game.
Poor games go, at least that one might be competitive.
Yeah, that is true. I certainly won't be watching it.
No. But see, this is exactly why they should separate the league. They should split it into two halfway through.
Possibly.
Definitely.
You get more competitive
you
games.
You would watch the Pro 12 every week if you thought the second half of the season is going to be all the good teams playing each other continually.
Yeah.
Increase attendance. It'd be awesome.
But you are letting the weak teams or die.
But if you're a fan of those weaker teams, you're not letting them die, because actually, yeah. You know, would you rather see your team in a competitive game for, I don't know, the Pro 12 Shield or some ridiculous spoon or something, or watch them get absolutely panned by Leinster?
But they'll lose more and more of their better players, those bottom teams.
Well, they won't, because next year it all starts off the same.
Yeah, but and you're more likely to go to a team where you're going to... And like the IRFU, who could have a lot of control over where players go... Just look at Henshaw.
Yeah.
They will want to funnel their players so they're getting the highest level experience.
But, you know, you've got a situation of a salary cap. You've got a situation of all the teams... You know, you're looking at parity between the teams. And if you finish at the bottom of the table, you should be entitled to some sort of recompense in order to make you better for next year.
So you say they should get first pick of the next year's players?
Something like that. There should be
something. Some kind of draft.
Some sort of draft, maybe. No, there's got to be something. Something. So next year... You get more competitiveness, and imagine how exciting it'd be around Christmas when that cut is made.
Yeah,
everyone clawing to get that middle. I've single-handedly saved Gloucester's kits, boots in promo pictures, and now I'm gonna save the Pro 12 because I care.
You care so much.
That's right.
Okay, so one poor game on Friday night and two brilliant games. Glasgow host Ulster. Which is a real test for Ulster, and I'm not confident, in all honesty.
Glasgow host Ulster.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ulster need to finish off more of their chances. They've got so many of them, and they need to finish off. There again, Charles Pearsall can score from anywhere.
Not only can he score from anywhere, did you see the intercept?
Yes, incredible.
I've seen that. It's a 2-on-1, 5 metres from his own line, and I've seen so many times... Players go for the intercept and they knock the ball on.
Yep.
And they give not only a penalty try but also a yellow card.
Charles
scoops it up, beats one man, throws it out to Gilroy, who goes 30 metres, kicks, and then 10 seconds later, Scarlets are defending their own line.
They've got a good record of signing mercurial talent. Do you think he'll move into scrum half once Pienaar leaves?
He could play anywhere.
Mm.
So I'm going to go for a Glasgow win.
I'm going to go for an Ulster win.
I hate to say it. Glasgow looked against...
a very good Cardiff team.
Against a very good Cardiff team, they got beat, but that was at Cardiff. Against a very good Leinster team the previous week, they beat them comfortably. So I think Glasgow at home is a very tricky place to go.
I've not seen enough of Cardiff yet to make any kind of assumption on how good they will be. But these early rounds...
Three from three,
are they top of the table?
It's Ospreys because they've got bonus points in all of them. Then Ulster, then Cardiff.
Wow.
They're the three unbeaten teams.
Next.
So Stuart Lancaster.
The Lancaster effect.
Stuart Lancaster won his third top flight club game.
Look at that.
As part of a coaching staff.
Well done, Stuart.
So... Up until about 2006, he was Leeds Academy coach, and then he went to be director of rugby at Leeds in the year that they got relegated from the Premiership.
He went
He won two out of 22 games. He won two, drew one, lost 19.
Yeah.
And then went had a year in the Championship where he did okay, and then went back to then he went to England for their academy.
We're going to have some sort of like Lancaster equilibrium type thing where he's finally won more games than he's lost.
That could take some time.
It's going to take it more than a season.
Yeah.
So we'll keep our eye out.
Unless he wins the next 20 or 19 consecutive games.
Yeah. Poor Stu.
I've not seen the highlights from the Edinburgh game, but I read a couple of reports, and all the talk from Leinster was about the Lancaster effect, and the immediate, most visible effect was apparently the line speed and the defensive effort.
Oh, not the cleanliness of the changing rooms.
It wasn't commented on, but I'm sure that has improved, undoubtedly. That actually made me laugh when I was listening to your Rugby Dungeon podcast
with
Chris Bendley, and he was describing why should I like Exeter. He's describing they're a great team, great band of rugby, bringing the guys from the academy, you know, we clean our own changing rooms.
Well, it's very difficult for me, Rugby Dungeon, because I appreciate people don't want to know what I think. They hear that here, they want to know what he thinks. So I had to bite my tongue.
I enjoyed that anyway. So they were talking about this young flanker, Levy.
Yes.
Who scored two tries. He was apparently key to this defensive effort. The line speed, making the hits on the Edinburgh team, on or behind the gain line.
Nice.
So it'd be interesting to see, because I've not heard much of him before. I know he's an Ireland under-20s flanker, and he's had a couple of seasons of injuries. So we'll see.
And who have they got this week?
So they host, top of the table, 3 5-point victories, the Ospreys.
3-5. Okay. Wow. Okay. That's going to be a good game.
It will be a good game. Yeah. Ospreys are comfortably the top scorers in the league, and they've also conceded the fewest points, although that is representative of the teams they have mm-hmm. played, when you consider that Connacht are now second from bottom.
If they win that, the Welsh regions all of a sudden feel like they're in a very good place, beating Glasgow and then beating Leinster.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
We did say that the Welsh regions look stronger than last year because of the people they've brought in, and they've not lost the usual kind of talent that they have lost the last few years.
Mm.
And it's Ospreys and Cardiff that for now seems to be benefiting. So that'll be a real test. Then on Saturday, we've got Munster hosting Edinburgh.
Okay, Munster.
I watched a bit of the Munster Dragons game. I watched the last half an hour of the Munster Dragons game this weekend. And Munster scored one very good try where their winger went in at the corner, didn't see that someone was tracking him back, really narrow 5 metre line, and he got hit before he hit the ball down. He got hit into touch, but the ball got dislodged and bounced backwards, and one of the centres or someone else one of his own teammates who was following it in dotted it down.
Oh. So at least they scored.
It was a great try, but it almost shouldn't have been scored because he was too casual. And Dragons, with 5 minutes to go, game's up, they're 5 points down, and they have a line out 5 metres from Munster's line to win the game, and they knock on after about five phases, and they just could not close it out.
It's a killer, isn't it? It's an absolute killer.
So, Munster Edinburgh, Munster at home. We've got Zebre Cardiff Blues.
I wonder which way that's going next.
Cardiff. And then, so they were both in the top lot last year. They're both in the bottom lot this year. Scarlets host Connacht.
Scarlets host Connacht. So
neither of them have won a game yet.
I'm going to say Scarlets.
At home.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you. Connacht have got to stop the rot, though.
I don't think they can. If you lose, if you're looking like you're going down at Zebre, it doesn't look like it's stopping the rot anytime soon.
No.
And Bundiaki is off somewhere. they've got to win or they're going to ruin everything.
Get out of Dodgetown, Bundy.
Yep.
That must be... Your point before, actually, them about a shortage of traditional centres in the Aviva,
yeah,
there must be a few clubs who'd bite your hand off of Bundiaki.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, apparently he's wanted back at the Chiefs. So interesting. He's already been tempted to go back, and you know the overtures that they make to these players is come back and you might have a shot with the All Blacks. Yeah. Which, why wouldn't you go back?
But then if someone's going to offer him 350k, 400k to go and play,
who would he fit,
a Premiership,
fit in for though? Where would he look good?
He'd look, based on his form last year, he'd look good almost anywhere.
Yeah, but who needs him? Bath?
Quinns maybe, because he's not just a big bopper, because he's not actually that big.
He's very fast.
He's fast, he's quite skillful, but he also hits like a hammer. So possibly Quinns are that inside centre role. Bath need centres.
Yeah, I'd say Bath. And there's probably a link there somewhere with Blackadder somewhere in the past.
I'll tell you who got a shortage of inside centres. Oh, actually, it's only a shortage because Tuilagi's injured and Tamu has not arrived yet.
But Tuilagi's always injured. Why don't they just ditch Tuilagi? I know he's some mercurial talent, allegedly, but he's always injured.
There has to be a tipping point. We've said it before, there has to be a tipping point where it's no longer worth it to retain him, because you're paying him, he's one of the best paid players in the world, and he's played half a dozen games in the past 2 years.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, let's wrap this up. I'm going to go and watch Wasps now play. Is it Wasps on TV or is it Leicester on TV?
Wasps, I don't actually know. That's a very good question.
It's one of the two. I doubt it's Leicester. It must be Wasps.
Yes.
So I'm off to watch Wasps now. What are you up to?
I'm going to watch that and then I've got to mow my lawn.
Fantastic.
Exciting afternoon for me.
Well, remember to follow us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. Follow me at Jay Beardmore, Tim at Cocker. Oh, hang on, Phil. We need to do an end of podcast hashtag.
We do. We certainly do. And this week, we've got an enormous box of stash from Canterbury, which we're going to have a little rummage through, pick out a few things that we like.
Yeah, I mean, not all the best things are going to come to us. I mean, the majority of it will.
There'll be some good things coming
to us. Yeah, there'll be some things I don't want that you can win.
And there will definitely be some good things going to one of our listeners who will tweet us the end of podcast hashtag.
Yes. Now, you might
try to say that right.
Yeah. I think we should have... what podcast? I'm tempted, to give away the stash to the person, rather than an end of pod hashtag, the person that manages to spread the word about the podcast as far as possible, through whatever means possible, and then tweets us with evidence.
So the difficulty of that is demonstrating it. The end of podcast hashtag.
No, so if you work for HSBC, get a link of our podcast,
yeah, but that
put it on an email, all staff, send, 250,000 people, done.
But that...
Then take a picture on your phone.
Yeah, you can just Photoshop that picture.
Oh yeah, good point.
Which is exactly what I would do if I was wanting to.
But then you also copy us in on the email.
People get fired for stuff like that.
No, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. If you work for HSBC, do that immediately.
I want to propose a hashtag. I want to propose Lancaster Lazarus.
What does that even mean?
Lazarus.
Yeah, I know that. Oh, Lancaster. I think
Stuart Lancaster. You know your favorite man.
Yep.
He's like a phoenix from the flames.
So well,
Lancaster Lazarus.
I have a rule about hashtags. I'm not going to put a hashtag that I can't spell.
That really limits. hashtag Jonathan Beardmore.
Oh, I'm not sure about that one.
Go on. Lancaster Lazarus. Unless you've got a better idea.
No, that's fine for me, mate.
So, hashtag Lancaster Lazarus. Look it up, because I'm not entirely sure how to spell that. And
brilliant. This will trend.
Next week, we will pick someone out of a hat, and you'll win. We've got a nice pile there of some lovely Canterbury stash.
Yeah, we've got absolutely loads of it. So, oh yeah. Also, you might win, and you might get nothing, because you might not be the right size. Just bear that in mind.
well, you might just happen to get a few extra large things, a few large things, and a few medium things. So you can share it with your friends and family.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll do the exit again. Find us at Rugby Podcast. Find me at Jay Beardmore. Find Cocker at Cocker. And also, don't forget our sponsors, Cornerstone, and also Beer 52. What's the code for Beer 52? Rugby 20.
And also Statbacker.
And Statbacker. All right, until next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.